Om Shanti. So, if I'm not wrong, the topic for today's session is transforming feelings through clearing the chit. Is that correct? Right. So I have a question for you. What is the chit? You've all come to this lecture for a reason. So what's the chit? Throw anything out. Mind. It's deeper than the mind. Subconscious mind. The state of our being. Is that what you said? Right? So it's the memory track that lies in the unconscious mind. Did any of that tell you what it is? This is a slippery subject. Because this word chit, I mean, I, till today, have not found a suitable English word that translates it literally and captures it, because it's used in so many different contexts in Hindi. You know, the word chit comes in the beautiful word that describes Shiva, Sat Chit Anand, the one that is truth, the one that is pure consciousness and bliss, the blissful one. And so the term chit gets translated as consciousness. And when you think of, you know, terminologies like body consciousness or soul consciousness, then it's just an aspect of your chit absorbed in the body. And in the body there's such an incredible variety. So there's aspects of your chit absorbed in people in your life, events in your life, maybe past events in your life. And your chit is an aspect of your Chaitanya spirit, the soul, that wanders. And so what, let me give you an example. You're sitting and you're eating food. So here's a businessman, he's come home to have lunch. But he's completely absorbed in thinking about the customer, the rich customer that's going to come to his shop at 2 p.m. that day. And he's eating the food, but he's not tasting any of it, because his chit is not present. It's absorbed in another scene somewhere else. You can be sitting here, and you can remember something in America, and the details of a house and a home in America. And you can get completely absorbed in that scene. This is an aspect of the chit. It wanders. People say their mind wanders. Your mind can't wander. Your mind can't leave the body and wander. Your mind without, you know, mind. But it's that aspect of the chit that gets absorbed into something. So body consciousness is when the chit is absorbed in the aspects of the body. And you know, all of us have experienced this. We sit here, but there's something that's really absorbed our being. So even when you're sitting in front of Baba and you're seeing Baba, it's like you're seeing but not seeing. Have you had that experience? Many times, somebody says. Right. So when you're so conscious, your chit is absorbed in the state of the self. The soul, it's ache, it's silent, it's still. And that's when you start to experience the quality that is the soul, the peace, the bliss, the purity. You know, there's a story in bhakti. And this story is about King Janak. You know, King Janak is known for being Videhi, the bodiless Janak. The one who attained full self-realization, went beyond all materialistic and worldly pleasures. And there's a story about the son of a sage, a wise kind of, you know, an ascetic. And he wanted to teach his son, you know, some spiritual lessons. So he said, go to King Janak and, you know, learn some spiritual instructions. So he went. And when he arrived in King Janak's palace, he saw King Janak dressed in full finery, with his arms around his queens, with platefuls of food and jewels. And he walked into the court and he said, and he thought, what am I going to learn from this person? You know? And of course, King Janak greeted him very warmly, lovingly. And the first thing you do in India when a guest comes in Bharat, you feed them. That's what happened. So platefuls of food came out for this person who had come to learn something from King Janak. And as this person, you know, the table was laid, he sat down at the table, he started to eat, and Janak kept getting more and more things, platefuls of food put on there. He was just looking around and he noticed a big, large bell hanging over his head. But it was hanging on a very thin, transparent string. And it looked like it was about to fall on his head. So he's eating this food, but where's his consciousness? Where's his chit? It's totally absorbed. Any minute, that bell's going to fall on my head. And, you know, in the meantime, Janak pays no attention, just continues to feed him food. So he's quickly going through his food. And then at the end of the meal, Janak says to him, did you enjoy your meal? And he says to King Janak, well, honestly, my chit was so absorbed in the fear of that bell falling on my head, I didn't get a chance to enjoy the food. And then Janak says to him, exactly. And my chit is so absorbed in the one and the Atma that I am beyond all worldly pleasures. So, where the chit wanders, and what the chit gets absorbed in, is where then feelings start to get created in your mind. Your mind is like a pamphlet, and the chit produces the image on the pamphlet. Does that make sense? And that's why that aspect of your chit can get absorbed in anything. You know, in Hindi we have this expression. We say, prasanna chit, the chit that's content, that aspect of your energy that's content, it's absorbed in contentment. Then you say, then Baba often says, instead of being prasanna chit, and that gets translated as content, you are prashna chit, which is questions. Prashna is questions. So your chit is completely absorbed in questions. What? Why? Happen? And typically those kind of questions are triggers from the drama. You know how a memory is created. We were talking about this in the car. That memories are created within the context of the drama. It's events, scenes, circumstances, interactions. So when your chit gets absorbed in an event of the drama, you will start to create memories. The tubers of that scene, as your chit gets absorbed, the tubers of that scene grasp your mind, feelings created, snapshots created, and a memory is formed. As you start to feel that event powerfully in your life. And so, you know, I can understand why we feel a little bit, fractured inside or separated inside, because there's aspects of our chit that are stuck somewhere. And so when you think about good memories you don't really remember. They're like natural. They're just assimilated. But the ones you remember are the ones that are not good. Right? And then what happens is the chit gets absorbed in one of those and then just repeats it again and again. And it's almost like in that moment, once the chit has absorbed itself in that memory, in that moment, even your body, your mind are reliving that moment again. You know, a lot of illness is happening and your body experiences stress because the chit isn't present at the moment of doing karma. Yeah? I'm just using examples to help illustrate this energy because, you know, it's not just one word, it's not just consciousness. So, you know, you're eating food. Where's your chit? What's it absorbed in? So you can't even taste salt, sugar, etc. You don't know how quickly you're eating, how fast you're eating. You're not even aware of the sensation it has in your body. So the wandering chit is wandering because of impurity inside. And you know, impurity is something that is generated when we lose self-awareness and our karma starts to degrade. And you just start doing what's easy rather than what's right. It's really simple. This is easy. Quick fix here. Let's just do that. So it's when corruption enters. You know, and the byproduct of that is that any karma that you start performing that goes against your truth and your conscience, it will bug. It will leave its mark. And you become so aware and conscious of it. And so, you know, what eventually happens is as you start to, I suppose, perform karma that's not true. It's false. It's a lie. You tell a lie. You do something you bring sorrow to someone intentionally. You know, you do things out of jealousy, out of spite, out of revenge, out of manipulation. You don't realize at that moment you are producing for yourself in the future a wandering chit. So, let's say for example, do you remember the first time you told a lie? Do you remember the first time you told a lie? Right. Okay, good. Well, I'm not sure if that's good or not good. But, okay, so the first time you told a lie, just imagine, what did you feel when you told the lie? Huh? Dirty. What else did you feel when you told the lie? Before even guilt. Fear. Right? I told a lie. What if I'm found out? Right? And then you have a couple of options. So in that moment, fear is the energy that sets in when you've gone against your truth. It's a byproduct. Fear is nothing to be afraid of. It's just a symptom of accumulation of false karma. So, fear is experienced when you've done something that goes against your truth. Now, you have two options. What are your options? To hide the lie, how? I tell another lie. Easy, right? Yeah. And what's the other option you have? Huh? You tell the truth. And you liberate your conscience. So you liberate your chit from that false event. Right? So now, if you choose the first one, you experience liberation. Bit of repentance, but liberation. If you choose the second path, what happens? A little bit more fear. Now you have two lies to cover up. Then guess what? It gets harder and harder to tell the truth. Doesn't it? Because then you feel really ashamed. How am I going to tell them? I lied once and then I lied twice and now I'm lying again to cover up two more lies. So you know what? It's just easier to lie. Let's just keep lying. Nobody's going to know anyway. This is what happens. Now eventually, because you continue to take that path and the domino falls in that direction, that you actually start believing the lies you tell yourself. Lies become beliefs. And guess what? You start living that lie. And as you start living that lie, you start to feel at some point in your life distant from yourself. Yeah, it's like you're not Becheni, it's like not distressed but not settled. There's a part of yourself that's wandering. Your chit wanders. Impure karma creates a wandering chit. We were talking about Daddy Janki in the car. And when Daddy comes, you know, Daddy's mantra for quite a few years now is, who am I and who do I belong to? And it's almost like she's tangibly dragging your chit away from everything it's absorbed in and reabsorbing it back in the soul and the supreme. It's that aspect of your consciousness that you've fractured in many, many different things. So, when we talk about cleaning chit, we actually talk about purifying chit. And you know, chit is an energy. For this energy in this conscious beingness or to be settled and grounded, it requires knowledge. That's why when we first start to listen to Baba's Murali, some things we understand, some things we don't understand. But as we deepen the relationship with Murali, something, a part of our chit starts to get absorbed. Have you noticed how sometimes you can get lost in a Murali as you keep reading it or listening to it? Because Baba awakens the purity of truth. And when the chit, you know, when you recognize, suddenly, okay, right, I understand. Now the chit has a place to ground itself in. Typically, most of us live our lives on beliefs. Beliefs are not grounding. Truth is grounding. Now, the chit also gets absorbed in relationship. You know, you can be sitting here, and let's say you're really attached to someone. When you're sitting here having yoga, where's your being? Your being's with that person. Your chit is absorbed in that person. It's not present in front of Baba. And then every trigger and everything associated with that person, connection, is triggered off in your mind. Your memories are excessively in your mind, starts to wander. You know, you get this feeling like, I'm not settled. Things, I'm all over the place. Because your chit has become absorbed in something else other than the soul and Baba. So, you know, for example, when you're reading, if your chit isn't present when you read, you don't remember what you read. Yes. So one of the ways of, I suppose, it's about a retraining of your chit. Because as Brahmins, you have recognized Baba. Actually, Baba recognized you before you recognized him. That's the other reality. But you have recognized that this is the one for me. Otherwise, you wouldn't make a commitment to be a Brahmin. You'd just be somebody who dabbles and comes to the center and goes again. So there is a level of recognition that has brought a commitment to become a Brahmin. Now, it's how deep you go into that relationship, how much you let your chit become absorbed in each relationship with Baba. Because that's what the chit wants. It seeks happiness. You know, when it's impure, it seeks being absorbed in something. And so, you know, has my intellect understood who has come into my life? Who has recognized me? Has my intellect accepted that the one that's come into my life knows my needs better than I know my own needs? It was very lovely. I was with the driver in the car and I said to him, how's your yoga and tapasya going? And his response was, well, we just sit in front of Baba and Baba knows what we need. I say to Baba, Baba, you know what I need more than what I know what I need. And it was such a lovely childlike response in that had so many things in it, surrender, trust, faith. So you know when your chit starts to get absorbed in your father, such a beautiful feeling of faith and trust and surrender and knowingness that my father knows my needs and will provide for my needs. If your chit is absorbed in the attachment of a human, you love Baba and you'll put him on a shelf. And then you'll seek security from that human, whatever you're absorbed in. And you know deep down that as much as you try and absorb your chit in someone, a human can never become your world. They're way too limited to become your world. Only Baba can become your world. So the chit, that's why when Baba keeps saying, man mana bhav. Okay, it gets translated as, you know, make your mind belong to me, make your mind mine. Actually, within that is absorb your chit in me. And you can become man mana bhav when the intellect first becomes ekagra chit. See, this word in Hindi, ekagra chit, literally means the chit that's stable in one. The chit that's stable in one. My intellect is focused on one. And as a result, the mind surrenders to that one. I become man mana bhav. And that experience and the sweetness of man mana bhav starts to help the soul. It cleans you from whatever you've picked up, energies you've picked up, and it also starts to create a level of disinterest inside. You know, you kind of get to know, this is what is sweetness of life. Everything else, so I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to put my chit there. You know, we were talking about why is it that sometimes we ruminate. Ruminate means we keep thinking about that same event again and again and again and again and again. It's a sorrowful event, and yet we still keep thinking about it. Your chit's completely absorbed in it. And in a certain, I suppose, weird way, your mind is deriving some pleasure from it. You can get pleasure from sorrow. It's pleasurable to have nostalgia. Did you know nostalgia is a form of sorrow? To be nostalgic. Oh, I wish it was like that. I wish it was like that. I wish it could be more like that. There's a security because we've known sorrow for so long that, you know, somehow it makes us feel something, so we stay with it. Secure. It's been our currency for a long time. And one of the ways to actually remove yourself is you have to withdraw your chit away from that memory, away from that event, away from that person. Because whatever you withdraw your chit from, you will not remember. Why is it that remembrance of other people and situations and things come into your head? Because your chit's absorbed in it. The moment you withdraw your chit away from that person, away from that memory, you will not remember it. But this is an active process. It's an active effort. And that's why we have Baba. Because, you know, if I think about my own personal experience, and I remember a time when one of my first public lectures I had to give. Of course, I'd planned it and I'd prepared it and everything was there. And it was somewhere in Oxford University. And for some reason, Jenty Ben couldn't make it, and so I was replacing her. And in those days, those were big shoes to fill in Oxford University, the seat of, you know, intellectual prowess in the world. And I remember having prepared everything, and then, you know, when I arrived in the hall, I was just consumed with fear. And I remember just sitting quietly, and I thought, gosh, why am I being consumed with fear? And I thought, well, what are they going to think of me? What are they going to think of what I say? If that was what was happening. And I know that this, I thought, oh, that's interesting. Why would I be so concerned about what they think about what I have to say? I have to say what I have to say anyway. And I realized probably some previous karma in the past where maybe I've judged, I've, you know, had thoughts about people where I am become sensitive to the thoughts of others about me. So that gets triggered in that moment. And then I just sat with Baba. And I just invoked Baba very powerfully in silence. And as I invoked Baba, that act of invoking Baba started to withdraw my chit away from that fearful belief of what others would think about me. And I started to feel the security of Baba's presence. And I just said to Baba, Baba, this is what I'm feeling. Take it. It's yours. And so it's not about analyzing your feelings. Going into that memory, why did that happen to me? And maybe this happened to me as a child. Gosh, that's endless, eh? You can go back to the origins of this birth, and then don't forget about how you left your previous birth. Then you go back to the origins of that birth. I mean, oh yeah, yeah, it's eternity. So you can't go back into a memory. Spirituality is not psychology. You can only transfer your chit and the energy of your chit and go to be absorbed with the one that provides everything for you. the one that is ready to carry your responsibilities, carry your burdens, be your eternal companion. Invoke that being. And it's funny because when there's a belief system that kicks in and fear that kicks in, it doesn't matter how well you prepared, you can't concentrate on what you have to say. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And so the effort is just hand over. It's withdraw your chit away from it and give it to Baba. Absorb your chit in Baba. And you know, there are many events the soul has to move through in this lifetime. Because there's so many things that happen to a Brahmin soul. See, we have to study, we have to have yoga, we have to have dharana, we have to do service, our karmic accounts get settled, right? The burden of sins on our head has to be reduced, we have to have 8 hours of yoga, 8 hours of service, you're allowed 8 hours of sleep. I mean, it's a pretty busy life being a Brahmin. And Brahmins are enormous people. I mean, who wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning and thinks about God and serves the world with light and might? You know, so the capacity of Brahmins is enormous because we are very old souls. And then the mischief we've been up to is pretty big too. So we have a lot that has to be settled in one birth. Now, there's another aspect of, I suppose, understanding settlement, especially karmic accounts, it's important. You know, often in certain situations when I see relationship breakdowns in the Brahmin family and two people stop talking to each other, they don't get on with each other, and really one of them can't stand to see the other person. The other person is not sure why, doesn't know, trying to get along, but then, you know, also has a judgmental perspective. So there's definitely an account, but this one thing that I hold very clearly in my awareness is something Baba said many, many years ago in Navyakt Murali, that in order to save you from Dharamraj, Brahmins become instruments for other Brahmins to help settle karmic accounts. So don't worry, be happy. These were Baba's exact words. And it's to save you from the land of Dharamraj. Now, when you think about a karmic account, what's it created from? It's created from your karma, right? And what's your karma created from? What drives your karma? Your sanskaras. Okay, so your account is with your sanskaras. An expression of your sanskaras of one birth. And then it's just coming back to you. Now, it just so happens that someone becomes an instrument or a trigger. Now, let's say in a previous birth, you acted from certain sanskaras. You created an event in a situation where you gave sorrow to someone, you did something, and that memory stays. The detail of that memory stays. You know, that memory. Now, of course, there are so many things in a memory. There's a feeling, there's an image, there's a trigger, there's a noise. There are many, many things that ring. But then when you take that memory to another time and place, anything can trigger that memory. It can be the way someone speaks, and suddenly you'll start to feel like you're back in that time. But then if you don't recognize that what's being triggered is a memory of the past, then what do you do? You make it about that person in front of you. They are making me feel like this. I remember very clearly one young person saying to me, you know, when she was talking about a relationship breakdown with one of her seniors. And she was saying to me, you know, I feel like I've been in this relationship of a partnership where I feel victimized and I feel like it's an old memory of a birth. And I say, do you hear what you're saying? This behavior of this person is one element, but it's triggering a memory of the past. And now you're ruining the relationship because you're making it about them. And it's not about them. And yet, that soul can't let go. They have to make it about them. Maybe some anger left, maybe something unfulfilled left that wasn't played out in that relationship that has to play itself out. So as a Brahmin, you know, to keep your feelings safe in relationships, you have to deeply understand that what is being triggered is an old feeling of the past, is something linked to an old memory. It's not real in this moment. And that person might be exhibiting one aspect of that memory that could have just sparked it like a matchstick. But then we suddenly make it all about them. And our chit is completely consumed in that person. That's when you try and have yoga and you can't have yoga because you keep remembering that person. So, you know, liberating the chit requires knowledge. Deep knowledge to understand the relationship between self, God and drama. And the whole game of energy. So that I don't let my energy get falsely stuck in any person or anything. Because it's never about them anyway. You know, when you take up the subject of memory, I'll give you another example. Let's say, at some point in one of your previous births, you're walking down the street, maybe in a nice park, the birds were there, and maybe there was a street nearby and there was buses there. You know, there's a whole load of noises and sounds and images associated with memory. And then a dog came running towards you. And the dog bit you. Right? So you're afraid. Now, that pain, and your chit goes to the place, becomes conscious of that pain. And because it gets absorbed in the experience of being bitten, you record it as a memory. Okay, fine, you go to the doctor, you get it healed, whatever, whatever, but the memory still remains. You leave your body, you take another birth. And then in your next birth, you go for a walk in the park. And guess what happens? You hear dogs barking. And guess what? Fear. Right? Fear. And the fear, and you don't know in that moment, oh, dog. Afraid of dogs. Maybe in your previous life, the dog bit you. Maybe the dog didn't bite you. Maybe something else happened, but there was a dog barking in the background. But even that dog barking will trigger a fear associated with an event. And then you think in your next birth you're afraid of dogs. Do you get my point? How limited we make things. So our fears are not real, even though they feel real. And we completely absorb our chit in our fears and paralyze ourselves. So the act of withdrawing your chit consciously away from the energy of another person, that's why it's important not to know too much about someone. So you know, the more you know about too much about something or someone, the more your chit gets entangled and absorbed in it. You have to let that world be a world. If you want to know someone, you know Baba. You can go into the depths of Baba with full permission. But you're not allowed to go into the depths of another human being. And we've all had to learn this lesson the hard way. Because when that chip gets absorbed, all kinds of things start to happen. Human is limited, so our experience, our mental experience feels limited, start to fluctuate when it's connected with anything limited. So one aspect is consciously withdrawing your chit. The second aspect is in every karma we perform, enabling us to be present in that karma. Of course, there's all this thing of mindfulness now. But for me, I like this word of being present with my chit as I'm eating. So it's like your whole being, you're complete as you're doing an activity. As you're eating, I'm absorbed in the state of being the soul as I'm eating this meal. As I'm speaking, I'm absorbed in the state of the soul that's speaking through this mouth. That state of really, in every action, letting the chit be present in the consciousness of the soul, in the state of the soul. My experience about the mind and memories is that, you know, our whole journey is time-bound. You know, I often ask the question, can you really transform sanskars? And for me, it was a conversation with Daddy that revealed that sanskars don't transform, they just merge. Because we have sets of sanskars in us. We have satopradhan sanskars, sato, rajopradhan sanskars, rajo, tamopradhan sanskars, tamo. We have these sets. Now, in satyug, you're not going to start experiencing rajopradhan sanskars. They're time-bound. That's why when Baba says, this is another thing about creating the motivation to transform feelings is to be aware of time. Powerfully, what this time is about. And the period of the time of the confluence age are the sanskaras of self-transformation. You know, self-mastery. We're claiming that mastery now. And so I have to absorb my chit in everything that Baba is telling me about who I am. I have to. Because as I do that, then as I absorb my chit in that experience of what Baba's telling me about who I am, I activate those sanskars. I create space to activate the Brahman sanskars, the sanskars of an angel. But the chit has to absorb itself in what Baba is saying to me about me. And as you absorb yourself in what Baba is saying to you about you, very slowly that experience just merges what is old. In fact, it's like an old costume. It's just like someone else of a different life. It just starts to leave you. Because, you know, we say in Hindi, Chodo to chute, which means if you let it go, it will leave you. Right? So as you make the effort to withdraw your chit away from everything worldly and absorb it in what Baba's saying to you about you, that thing will leave you. It will let you go. It will release you. So what is this time for? Where am I spending my time? What am I doing with my time? Because time and the quality of our thoughts are very deeply and powerfully connected. I can't waste my time and then say, Baba, I love you 100%. It doesn't tally. Yeah, because waste time means you just create a wandering chit. It's the byproduct. So clearing the chit, cleaning the chit is a lot to do with withdrawing your beingness from everything and really invoking Baba, putting your chit and making your chit stable in one. In one. And then you see what Baba's energy does. Because Baba is an ocean of incredible energy. The highest intelligence, purest feelings, compassion, there's so much power and virtue in that energy that the moment your chit is absorbed in one, the download begins. Immediately your intellect starts to think in benevolent ways. You know, there's a natural intelligence that starts to work for you effortlessly. And that's what the act of purification is. You don't need to go anywhere else. In Baba, there is everything. Everything. And the beautiful thing about absorbing your chit in Baba is that Baba's energy and the one that is ever pure starts to make you one again inside. The feeling of distress in the mind calms down. The intellect concentrates. The old sanskars stop playing mischief. And there's a beautiful deep silence that starts to penetrate through your whole system as everything finds its natural place inside. And after a while, your whole system feels the king has returned back to the kingdom. We are safe. Baba's presence does this. So I'm going to stop there. And I'm just wondering what this has triggered in all of you. Has it been helpful? A little bit more clarity about it? Yeah. Any questions? Any thoughts? Any realizations? Any comments? It's our memories that trigger, that the chit can get absorbed in. Okay? And when an old memory that isn't pleasant is triggered, and then that experience of that memory and those old feelings come flooding into the mind, it only gets triggered by something. Right? And then if I'm not self-aware and I don't work with Baba, then I start to believe that this person is making me feel the way I feel. Right?
And how about letting go of fear? Suppose something...
You said about fear of dogs or what, fear of water, fear of heights. They all have a connection in our chit of previous birth? It is. It's connected. Because wherever the chit wanders, and whatever it gets absorbed in, you will experience the energy of that. But also fear is a byproduct of your impure karma. So fear is not something to be afraid of, it's just to realize it's a symptom. So you know, I first kind of framed this when I got vertigo. Now, I don't know if you know what vertigo is. When you have vertigo, the whole room goes round and round. And I had it for 2 weeks, and I remember when I had vertigo, it was like the effect, my body went into a panic attack as I started to walk. And I said to myself, gosh, I've been meditating for so many years and I'm having a panic attack. So I went to the doctor, and he explained to me what was going on. That when you're, the balance, because your ears, you know, the balance of your body is affected, then the panic attack is the attempt of the body to prevent further harm. So, you know, you go into a panic attack because it's trying to find some order. And I said to him, yeah, but it's when I start walking, my whole body freezes. He goes, don't worry, just walk through it. Just keep walking. Because as you keep walking, the body will find its balance again. So what happens when we experience fear is we stop certain karma. We freeze. And actually you have to continue doing pure karma until you regulate again. You just have to walk through the fear. Because the fear is just a byproduct of your previous karma. So there's no point going, I'm afraid, forget it. It's there. We live with a degree of it because it's a byproduct of it. But the beautiful thing about Baba is that, you know, Baba's presence is very real at a subtle level. And when you make the effort to make yourself subtle by withdrawing your chit away from the grossness of that feeling or the grossness of the situation, coming back to the feeling of being the soul, then what starts to happen is you start to feel Baba's presence. Because Baba's very present when you're aware of yourself at that subtle level. And the feeling of safety that one experiences when you are absorbed in the experience of the soul, in the companionship of Baba, you can tolerate your fears.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Om Shanti. Just to understand better, chit is some combination of mind, intellect, and sanskaras together, or and feelings, or something else, and all of this is consciousness. For me, it's a little bit.
Mixture. I'm using. It is a bit of a mixture, but I'm using this word consciously, just so that you get a sense of the how it works. Mm. You know, I don't think it's much about naming it, as it is to understand the process of what's happening.
Ah, okay.
You know. And we're so used to letting aspects of our chit get absorbed in things. You have to be careful that your part of your being doesn't go into something too much. You know, if you find yourself, your chit can get absorbed in a situation. Your chit can get absorbed in a person. And so understanding how this aspect of your energy can quickly get absorbed, you have to stop yourself before you take a dive into something or someone. It could be a scene of the drama, it could be a person, it could be an event. You have to stop yourself. And in that moment, you have to powerfully go to Baba. Invoke Baba. And then things will change. Your feelings will change. Even maybe the situation will change. It's possible. You don't know what Baba's energy can do until you invoke Baba. So it's the effort to keep the chit absorbed in Baba.
So, to be Bab Saman, it's like to be Sat Chit Anand.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. And yes, of course, for your chit to be absorbed in Baba, Your intellect has to recognize Baba. You have to know the value of Baba in your life. Your mind has to experience the sweetness of the relationships with Baba. And your sanskars have to follow the directions of the Father. You have to follow the directions of the Father. You need all three things for your chit to remain consistently absorbed, ekagra chit in the Father. And if I look at Daddy Janki and you feel there is nothing but one Baba for her, her chit is just really so absorbed in Baba, but I also know why she's still in a body that's 104 and Baba's using this body and her chit is so absorbed in Baba, is because of her pure karma. Daddy's level of honesty, integrity in her life, it's been exceptional. And her pure karma has also sustains her chit to stay close to the thing that's very pure. Okay. Something for you to chit-chat about. Think about and feel. So I think now we're going to have go into meditation for 1 hour. And in this meditation, I would encourage you to withdraw your chit away from the past, away from people, away from